Well, today we come to this most special day. You know, every day is unique and special in its own way. But today is one of those days that stands out. Because on this day, we aren't just here this morning to worship God. We aren't just touched this morning by our children's ministry. We aren't just going to be challenged today by God's word. Today we get to see God in action. Today we get to see Christ exalted and commitment realized. Today we get to share in 9 people who are saying to all of us, who are calling out to our whole community, who are shouting out to the world, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a lifelong, sold out, 100% in follower of Jesus Christ. I am His, and He is mine. But today, folks, we must first say that if it were not for Christmas, if it were not for Christ identifying with us, we could never identify with Him. If Jesus didn't take the initiative, we would be so lost. If Jesus didn't proactively step into time and space, becoming man, no matter what we could have done, no matter what, we would be lost and without hope. But in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, to come to redeem us, to come so that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters into His family. Oh, how He identified with us. Oh, how He connected to us. Oh, how He came to us. Folks, at this Christmas time, at this baptism time, we come together to say with one heart and with one voice, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for identifying with us, for coming to us. He identified with us. One of the great truths of Christmas is that God wanted everyone to know that the Messiah, the Savior, was born. Christ's birth was not a secret. Christ's birth was not shrouded in mystery. Christ's birth was not a surprise. Jesus said it was going to happen hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came. And when Jesus was born, He shouted Christ's arrival. In Genesis 3:15, right after the fall of mankind, the very beginning of our Bible, God tells Eve that from her a seed, an offspring, a certain specific child will come that will destroy Satan. Then God reiterates this very same promise to Abraham, telling him that all the world will be blessed because of this one certain specific offspring. Then the same promise from the Garden of Eden goes to Adam's offspring, Isaac, and then from Isaac to Jacob, and whom God renames Israel, and then from Israel to His son Judah. Then from the tribe of Judah comes a prophetic promise that the Messiah would be born from the family of Jesse, whose son was King David. The Messiah would be the one specific, certain offspring from King David. From the Garden of Eden now to King David, spanning thousands of years, this one promise is still continuing to unfold. The whole story of the Old Testament is the slow but steady revelation of the Messiah. What's the first verse in our New Testament say? Matthew 1:1 says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. The very first thing that Matthew does is tell everyone that Jesus Christ is that one seed. He is that one specific, certain, promised offspring. He's the Messiah. Luke, in his genealogy, takes Jesus all the way back to Adam. Jesus is the one talked about in Genesis 3:15. But just to make sure that we get it, that it's this Jesus, is the Messiah, God gets very specific. Micah 5:2 says the Messiah will be born from the tribe of Judah in the town of Bethlehem. And then that great prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7 says the promised seed, the specific son, would be born to a virgin and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Then God says through that same prophet Isaiah in chapter 9, He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Over and over again throughout the Old Testament, prediction after prediction, Jesus is proven to be the one, the Messiah, the promised seed. God could not have made it any more clear. God said Jesus is his Son, the second person of the Trinity. A Son was given. The Son was coming to earth. And he did. God didn't just predict the birth of Jesus. No, on that very night, oh, so long ago that Jesus was born, he proclaimed the birth of the Savior. When Jesus arrived, God literally wrote it in the sky for all to see. The host of the angels proclaimed Christ's birth. Luke 2 says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The sky was full of angels proclaiming the arrival of Jesus. And those shepherds, they dropped everything to seek him. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into Bethlehem, the shepherds said to one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Then we have the scene in the temple. Remember? With Anna and Simeon. When Jesus is presented, and 8 days after he's been born, according to the rules of the Old Testament, Anna and Simeon were there in the temple waiting for the Messiah to be revealed, and they held Jesus in their arms, and they proclaimed for all to hear, all throughout the temple and the Temple Mount, that this 8-year-old child is the Messiah, the seed. The whole temple is stirred up. Could this be the promised one? Then, of course, there's that miraculous star. That miraculous star that leads the way of the Magi who had come from the east to worship the newborn king. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. See, the Old Testament prophesied the coming of the Messiah. And when he came with an amazing entrance. Angels, heavenly hosts, shepherds and temple and Anna and Simeon, a star and magi. As Philippians 2 says, he came, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. See, Jesus came to so identify with us. Jesus came to so love us that he came to live a perfect life. That he came to take our sins, to take our place. He was the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus was born to die. To die bearing the sins of mankind, but not to be buried in some grave, thousands of miles away, some 2,000 years ago. No, not our Jesus. No, he rose again in victory. He's alive with victory over death and Satan. Guess what, folks? That's exactly what baptism pictures. That's exactly the picture of baptism. We identify with him. Turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to read starting at verse 3. Listen here to the picture of baptism. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Powerful words of baptism. See, baptism has two meanings. One is the literal meaning. The literal meaning of baptism is to immerse. It speaks of water baptism, being dunked in the water, being immersed underwater. See, there's another more symbolic meaning of baptism, and that meaning is to be united with, to be identified with. See, baptism is the act of being immersed in water, but its significance is symbolic. No act on our part could ever earn our salvation, even baptism. Baptism is the expression of an obedient heart that is already in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. My little sentence that helps me understand the truth of baptism is that baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. Baptism is to show everyone that you are already united with Christ because of what God has done in your heart and life. Baptism is our symbolic expression of our identification and unification with Christ, proclaiming for all to hear and to see that Jesus is my Savior. I am His, and He is mine. Romans says that baptism is a symbol of our unification with Christ and His death. Therefore, with that symbol is putting to death of the old nature. And baptism is a symbol of our unification with Christ in His resurrection, so that we might walk in newness of life, having the old self crucified and the new self alive in worship and obedience in Jesus Christ. Therefore, the symbol of our baptism is to be buried with Him in baptism and raised again to new life. That's what these nine are going to do today. They are symbolically representing their unification and identification with Jesus Christ, death and resurrection, through being immersed and raised out of the waters of baptism. They are saying that I believe that Jesus did all of this for me, so I am now doing and giving all of myself to Him. It's a joyous moment. It's going to be great. But it's also a serious moment, because they're saying for all to hear, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. See, when Texas pastor Jim Dennison was in college, he served as a summer missionary intern in East Malaysia. While he attended a small church, at one of the church's worship services, a teenage girl came forward to announce her decision to follow Christ and be baptized. During the service, Dennison noticed some worn-out luggage leaning against the wall of the church building, and he asked the pastor about it. The pastor pointed to the girl who had just been baptized and told Dennison, her father said that if she was baptized as a Christian, she could never come home again. So she brought her luggage to her baptism. It's this level of sold-out commitment to Christ that is being exampled for us today in baptism. See, Jesus came, born to die, born to offer salvation, born to give others eternal life. He came for you. He came for me. Have you united yourself with Him? Is He your Lord? Have you put the trust of your life into His hands? Have you transferred the ownership of your life to Jesus Christ? Well, today can be your day to take those first steps of faith and trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Believer today, are you a sold out, 100% in follower of Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized? Have you made this stake of this claim of your life, and are you living it out? Is your luggage packed? If that story earlier was about you, would you have brought your luggage to the baptism? Can you say with that girl and with the Apostle Paul that whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ? Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. Think about that. Can we say that? Resonate the truth of this in your heart today. I count everything as loss. Everything in my life is nothing compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. That's what's happening today in baptism. That's what's happening. May it be so. Let's pray. Father, we have gathered together now at these moments to hear your word and to be challenged. Many of us in this room have gone through the waters of baptism. So the challenge for us today is, where is our commitment? Is it alive? Is it real? Is there still that stake in the ground that says, I'm a sold out 100% in follower of Jesus Christ in my life? If not, Lord, I pray in our hearts and our lives that you would rekindle our commitment to you as we witness these baptisms. Lord, perhaps there are some in here that have never put their faith in you. They're here to witness these baptisms and see that and support and how wonderful all that is, and we're thankful for that. But maybe today, for the first time, they can see the faith that these ones getting baptized are doing. And they can see this faith for themselves. And maybe today, if you've never come to actually put your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ, maybe today can be your day. To admit that you can't do it on your own. To admit that it would take Jesus Christ to save you. That there's nothing you can do in yourself. To confess Him as your Lord and Savior now in your heart, right now, confessing Him. Yes, He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I have faith and will follow Him. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose again in victory, offering new life and real life and abundant life and eternal life. And I accept that. Today, by faith, maybe today you will make that prayer your prayer. And this would be your day of new life. Lord, we have come together to celebrate these baptisms as an honor to you and to Jesus for all that he has done. No turning back. No turning back. In Jesus' name, amen.